For the reading of the scriptures together. We'll read from the book of Micah in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 7, and we'll read verses 18 through 20. And so as we approach the table of the Lord's Supper this morning, may the Holy Spirit use these words to frame our thoughts and to stir our affections. Now, Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. And you will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May be seated. Children, could I ask you all, if you were to tell what really makes you happy, what gives you joy, what is one thing that you really, really love, one thing that just gives you delight, something that when your parents say, this is what we are about to eat, or this is where we are about to go, or this is what we are about to do, something that just causes your face to light up. Parents, we learn a lot about our children through the answer to that question. What brings them joy? What gives them delight? And I want to ask you a similar question about the God of heaven. What is it that brings him joy? What is it that gives him delight? If you were to describe God, if you were to say what he is like, how would you describe him? I want you to hear from this text as we draw near to the Lord's table, that he is a God who delights in mercy. That he is a God who relishes the display of grace to sinners. I want you to hear that this is a God who cherishes his bride, and that he delights to speak goodness and favor over her. I want you to hear that this is a God who delights in mercy. And that's what the prophet does here. The prophet points the people of Israel, and he also points you and me to a God who is infinite in mercy, who delights in mercy. Look with me at verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights. And what does he delight in? You look at verse 18. What brings him delight? He delights in steadfast love. He delights in loving kindness. He delights in covenant loyalty. He delights in mercy. And I want to ask why. Why is it that this God of infinite holiness and purity and justice. Why would this God delight in mercy? And as you and I gather around the table on this day, what is it that would stir our thoughts to this truth that he delights in mercy? Why does he delight in mercy? And why is this the root of all true love of God, all true worship of God? Why does he delight in mercy? And I want to say, first of all, he delights in mercy because it is who he is. It is in his nature to do so. Why does he delight in steadfast love? Well, because it is in his nature to do so. It is who he is. You look at verse 18. Who is a God like you? Here is the prophet, and he is asking a defining question. He's asking a distinguishing question. Who is a God like this God? Who is a God like you? All the gods of the nations, all the idols of the world, they are different from you. Who is a God like you? What is it about the God of Israel that defines him? His mercy. Y'all, you hear from this text, his mercy is a definer. It defines who he is. What is this God? He is mercy. That God is mercy. He delights to show steadfast covenant loyalty because this is who he is. And out of the abundance of your own heart, out of the abundance of what you enjoy, you speak and you move and you act. Out of the abundance of who he is, he delights in mercy. This is a definer. It defines who God is. All of his attributes, his holiness, his justice, his goodness, his truth, his love, they all blend together. There's no schism in the attributes of God. His attributes are not like a pie that we can cut into little bits and serve this piece here and this piece there. No, his attributes, they go together. It is all or none. So then his mercy is a holy mercy. His grace is a just grace. His holiness is a merciful purity. His wrath is a holy and gracious wrath. All his attributes, they all burn in one concentrated beam, and we don't separate them out, we don't parse them out, we don't cut them up. He is a God who is rich in truth and grace and justice and mercy. And all of those attributes, they join together. Y'all, how does he point you? What does God do? He points you to his mercy. He says to sinners who deserve nothing but his justice and wrath, he says to rebels in his kingdom, those who have mounted an insurrection against him. The prophet Micah speaks of judgments. Micah speaks of deserved wrath. And how will this God of infinite justice treat his people? He will delight in mercy because it is who he is. It is in his nature to do so. And all of these attributes, they burn together in one concentrated beam. We sing of this. Let us love and sing and wonder. Let us praise the Savior's name. Let us wonder. This is hymn number 172. Let us wonder grace and justice join and point to mercy's store. So imagine grace and justice. Imagine they're like people. And one is here and one is there. And imagine grace and justice together. They point. They point to mercy's store. And it is a richness of mercy. It is an abundance of mercy that can never run dry and never be evaporated. Who is a God like this? The gods of the nations, they could be appeased. You could obtain pardon from them. You could obtain mercy from Zeus, the Greek god, if you did the right things, if you offered the right sacrifices. You can obtain pardon from the gods of this world, from the gods of our culture. You can obtain pardon if you do the right things, if you support the right causes. But our God is not like the gods of the nations. Who is a God like you? Why does he delight in mercy? Because it's who he is. His is a merciful holiness. It is a holy mercy. It's who he is. It's also what he does. Why does he delight in mercy? It's in his nature to do so. But it's also what he does. What does he do? You look at verse 18. You track the verbs. What does he do? He pardons. He pardons iniquity. He takes the burden. He looks at a sinner who is weighed down. He looks at a human who is burdened with this intolerable weight of guilt and shame. And what does he do? He lifts the burden. That's the word in the original. It is a lifting. He lifts iniquity. He lifts the burden. Why does Jesus say, "Come unto me, all who are weary and are heavy laden," are heavy burdened? He pardons iniquity. He passes over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance. We're coming back to this point in just a minute, but don't miss this, that he shows mercy. It's not just that he gives forgiveness to those who have never known him. It's not just that he calls those outside to himself and pardons their sin. It's that he continues to show mercy to his people. You never outgrow the need for mercy. No matter how long you have been a Christian, how long you have known the Lord, you never outgrow your need for his mercy. Passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance, he does not retain his anger forever. Verse 19, he will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Why does he delight in mercy? Because it is what he does. He lifts the burden, pardoning iniquity. Justifying you in his sight. Pointing you to mercy's store. Where is mercy's store? Where is that inexhaustible fountain of life? Where is mercy's store? Y'all, it is there at the cross. It is there at Calvary. It is there at the cross of Jesus. Christ is mercy's store. Why is he able to pardon iniquity? He is able to pardon your sin and to lift that intolerable burden because he has laid that burden on the back of his son. Why is he able to forgive and to make you accepted in his sight? Oh, he says to you, come, O lovely soul. And why is he able to call you in that way? Because he pardons. He has taken your sin and he has laid it on the back of his son. He has laid upon him, Isaiah says, the iniquity of us all. Why does he delight in mercy? It's who he is. And it is what he does. What has he done? How has he shown you mercy? How has he exercised grace? Oh, that sweet, infinite, purifying, justifying grace. How has he shown you grace? He's justified you. He's made you accepted in the Beloved. He has pardoned your sin, pardoning their iniquity, accepting them as righteous in his sight. But y'all, it's not just that he pardons iniquity. What else does he do? Look at verse 19. He will again have compassion on us. And how will he show that compassion? He will tread our iniquities underfoot. How does this God of infinite holiness, how does he show mercy to sinners? He not only pardons them, he also subdues the foe. He takes that monstrous grip that sin has on you, and he not only pardons, he also breaks those chains and he mortifies it. He puts it to death. He treads it underfoot and he drowns it in the depths of the sea. How does he show mercy to you? He not only justifies you, he also sanctifies you. It is of his mercy that you are made pure in heart, that your particular sins that have had you in a vice grip, it is of his mercy that that grip is loosened. It is of his mercy that you are sanctified. In other words, it is of his kindness, it is of his grace that you are trained for godliness, that you are trained for piety. Now, what is piety? Well, it is that love and reverence for God. You see his mercy, you see his goodness, and that mercy and goodness, it stirs you to a deepest love and reverence for God. What is piety? Love and reverence. What wakes it up? What woke you up this morning? Did your alarm clock wake you up and you take it and you chunk it across the room? What woke you up this morning? What is it that wakes your piety? What is it that stirs up your sanctification? Is it not an awareness, a knowledge, and a full embrace of his mercy? That you have been made aware of his infinite kindness that is undeserved. He has said to you, come, lovely soul. And you respond, I come to you, my heavenly bridegroom. And you meet together at the hall of joy, and you feast at joy's table. Let us wonder, grace and justice join and point to mercy's store. He delights in mercy. It's who he is. It's what he does. And he delights in mercy because of who he loves. Who does he love? Who does God love? You look at verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for whom? For the remnant of his inheritance. Oh, y'all, he has a people. He has an inheritance. He has a heritage. He looks at you. Do you know why he calls you a lovely soul? And why he says to his church, "You are all fair, my beloved. There is no flaw in you." Do you know why he cherishes his bride so intensely? That he cherishes you because you are his inheritance. The Lord Jesus wraps the garment of a redeemer over you because you have been given to him. The Father, in his infinite love, the richness, the goodness, the love of the Father, he has set his affection upon people from before the foundation of the world. And then what does he do? He takes this number, he takes this vast multitude, and he gifts his Son with this multitude. You are that multitude. You are that vast number. You are Abraham's seed. You are heirs according to the promise. And what does God do? He delights in mercy because of who he loves. And who does he love? He loves those whom he has chosen from before the foundation of the world. Oh, he cherishes his people. "Not for your own deeds have I delivered you from the land of Egypt, but because of the mercy I promised to your fathers." Why does he delight in mercy? He delights in steadfast covenant loyalty because of who he loves. But let me ask you another question about that. Why is it that he would love the remnant of his inheritance? But why is it that he would show this affection for those who have only scorned his law, for those who have mounted an insurrection against the holiness of his throne? Why would he love such unlovely people? Y'all, what does he say to his Son at Jesus' baptism, where he is anointed as the great high priest for his people, and he is set apart as the mediator? When Jesus is baptized, and then later on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the curtain is pulled back just a glimmer, and his disciples, three of them, could see the glory and the majesty of a glorified Christ. What does the Father say of Jesus on both of those occasions? "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Why would God be pleased with you? Is it because you've offered the right sacrifices, prayed the right prayers, sung the right songs, you've done the right things? Why would God show mercy to you? Why would he love you? He knows you better than anyone ever could, including yourself. Why would he still love you? Is it not because of his love for his Son? He has gifted you to his Son. You are in union with his Son. Whoever is in union with the beloved Son becomes a beloved adopted son or daughter. He delights in mercy. Why? Because of who he loves. He loves his Son, and you're in union with him. That's why he delights in mercy. It's who he is. It's what he does. Who he loves. And it's what he has sworn. It is what he has promised. It is what he has covenanted. You can turn that word covenant. Kids, what's a covenant? It's a relationship that God establishes with us. Guarantees by his word. Now let's turn that noun into a verb. He has covenanted. He has sworn. Look at verse 20. "You will show faithfulness to Jacob, and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old." There's a twofold foundation of his covenant. If you were to rip up the floor and look at the foundation of his covenant, what would you find? You would find truth, and you would find mercy. He has spoken truth to Jacob, truth to Abraham, truth to the prophets. What has he spoken to you? Through the means of grace? Has he not spoken truth to you? And is that truth, is that not the foundation of his covenant? That he establishes a bond with us. What is the covenant of God? God establishes a relationship with us. To us he'll condescend. There's the whole gospel. He is our guide and friend, and to us he'll condescend. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. And that incarnate deity, the incarnate Christ, what did he do? He spoke truth. And that truth, that is the foundation of his covenant with you. That's how he can establish a bond with you. That's how you can be in union with Christ, that he has spoken truth. And then that truth, what has it done? That truth has pointed with a straight finger. It has pointed to mercy's store. Truth has pointed to mercy. You rip up the floor, and what would you find at the foundation of his covenant? You would find truth. And you would find mercy. You will show faithfulness to Jacob, truth to Jacob, and steadfast love or mercy to Abraham. And it's an ancient covenant. This is one that reaches way back. This is not one that needs an update. This is not one that needs a continual renewal. This is not your subscription that needs a yearly renewing fee. No, it is an ancient covenant, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. So what is it that brings this God joy and delight? It is a joy of his to receive repentant sinners. It is his delight to show mercy. Just as the father receives the prodigal son, this righteous, gracious father receives the remnant of his inheritance. He receives those whom his soul loves. And that mercy, is that not the root? Is that not the root of the sweetest, the truest, the strongest love for God? How do you cultivate a love for God? Where does love for God come from? Where does your song flow from? No, when you open your mouths, when you open your lips to sing, where does that song well up from? Oh, is it not spring up from mercy? Mercy that has been tasted. Mercy that has been digested. Mercy that has been embraced and taken in. Does it not flow from that deepest hidden spring? Where is your life found? No, your life is found in Christ. You have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Where does that love for God come from? Where does the worship of God come from? 16th century pastor John Calvin said it this way, that all of this love of God, all the worship of God, it is all rooted in an embrace of his mercy. That he is reconcilable to you. That you are no longer a stranger in the far country. That you are no longer exiled. You are no longer strangers and aliens. But you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That is the root of your love for Him. That's the root of true worship of God. Why do you seek your worship to conform to His law and what He says? Is it not because you have tasted of His mercy? Who is a God like unto you? Without question, we would serve you in complete conformity and compliance to what you have commanded. Mercy is who He is. Would you taste and would you see that He is good? Mercy is what He does. Would you come to Him at His call? Mercy is the source of His love for His people, showing you covenant loyalty, covenant mercies. And mercy is what He has sworn. And He has sealed that promise with the king's ring. As you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God, with the deepest love and reverence, we would rejoice that grace and justice join and point to mercy's store. And Lord Jesus, we would now look to You, the fountain of life. And Lord, as You have sworn to our fathers of old, we pray that Your sworn truth and promise would ring in our ears, even now as we gather about Your table.